Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. I'd like you to stop by my website there at Cross the Border. Take advantage of the resources there. Sign up for the blog. My website is a blog. It's a WordPress blog at this time. You can sign up for the blog, and I'll send you a password so that you can view the chapters of my videos there in HD quality. If you want to watch The Greatest Prophecy DVD, you can order it from the network for a small price, or even $5, whatever you send us. We ask for $20 or $25 donations, but if you want it free, you have to write to us by mail to request that, and we'll send it to you. $5 minimal just to cover the costs. If you want to just cover the costs, or if you want to support these broadcasts, support the network, you can give as much as the Heavenly Father instructs you to give if you live in obedience to Him. You can also watch the DVD for free on YouTube. You can go to YouTube, just type in The Greatest Prophecy DVD, and it should show up there on the first page, because I don't think there's another video out there called that exactly by name. Some other videos will pop up, but you'll see it there, The Greatest Prophecy DVD. And I have that on the my Prophecy Reality channel on YouTube. So you can go there and look at some of the other videos there. We have others that that support. But The Greatest Prophecy DVD is a good primer for true prophecy. Give you scripture and verse. You can start your study there. Just look up the verses and consider it. Try, as you may, to exclude what's being conveyed to you there by the scripture. And maybe you'll see something. Maybe you'll learn something. And anyway, I hope so. I hope that it is from the Heavenly Father and that you could be edified by those things there. CrossTheBorder.org. I would just like to hear from you. Somebody's listening to this broadcast. Thousands of downloads every month. I'm certainly not hearing from many people for all the downloads that are coming. So if you can't give, you can at least email me and say, hi, I'm listening. And, you know, thank you for the work. I can't afford to give anything, but, you know, I'm praying for you or whatever, you know, whatever the Spirit moves you. Or just drink. Go ahead and just drink. If it changes your life, if it brings you to repentance, if it helps you endure in His kingdom until He comes and or until the end of your mortality, then I am doing the work that the Heavenly Father has set before me. CrossTheBorder.org. We're in Ezekiel chapter 36. We're near the end here, so let's try to pick up here. We're the prophesying against Seir or Edom, the enemies of God, wherever or whatever time they're in. I know I have my enemies here today, and they're trying their best to destroy me and steal and destroy my livelihood, destroy my children and my family even. And they're rich people. They have plenty, yet the desire to take everything I have, not that they really want it, but because there's a spirit. The spirit of Esau, the spirit of Edom, the spirit of Jezebel is driving them with a hatred that they can't let go of because they are covetous and they love the creation more than the Creator. While they feign, they love Jesus and they follow the Messiah, but they delude themselves. You may judge them by their fruits. They say one thing with their lips, but their life says a totally different thing. The desolate land, okay, the promises. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I speak unto Israel, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be built. Prophesying of them returning back to the land after the desolations, the 70-year desolations. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And they say that today about Israel. The waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. And the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, Yahuwah, have built the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, Yahuwah, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, Adonai, Yahweh, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, and do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock of the flock of Jerusalem. In her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with the flocks of men, and they shall know that I am Yahuwah, the Lord. And speaking of Yahuwah, the name of the Creator, the Tetragrammaton, if you're looking at your E-sword, the 3068 there in the Hebrew Strong's Concordance numbering system, Him by name. And I had occasion to watch some Israeli TV today, or not today, but, you know, in these times, and I say today, that means in these days, and you can see some on YouTube, and they're speaking Hebrew, of course, or they're speaking a mixture of Hebrew and English, and they refer to themselves as Yahudi, as do the nations around them. I've run into some Arabs here locally. They run the Minute Marts and other stores around here. They own most of the Minute Marts in town. You know, those little markets with the gas stations. And yeah, I can think of a half a dozen of them right here in the small town where I live. And they refer to, you know, the Israelis today, they call them Yahudi in their own language. And in America, we call them Jews. So they don't even call themselves Jews. That's a typically Western American slang for the people of God, or the people that are called by His name, Yahudi. So they call them that, which Yahudi means the people of God. That's like saying America, and we're called Americans. We're called the people, which means the people of America. And that's what the word means. So when I say Yahuwah and I say His name, don't think it a funny thing. It sounds funny to Americans and to those in the West when you use the name of the Creator and you call His people Yahudi, but it doesn't sound funny to them. As I was saying, I had occasion to watch some Israeli TV programs, and out of curiosity, I watched them. And some of them were just abominable. You know, it's like you watch some of these abominable sitcoms and TV programs that are popular in America today. You know, the overspreading of abomination. That's part of the deal, man. You know, the media is just saturated with it. Just reprehensible behavior and sexual innuendo and just flagrant exposure of flesh, because, you know, sex sells, they say. So they expose a lot of flesh. And I see these Israelis on TV just emulating the heathen in the exposure of the flesh and the sexual innuendo and the hatred of the other nations around them. And you hear them say, Yahudi, Yahudi, Yahudi this, Yahudi that. And when they do these things and they take after the heathen, and they play with sexual innuendo, and they raise up the things of the world, and adultery, and a fornication, and the idolatry of state, and the covetousness of riches, and they call themselves by His name, Yahudi. You can YouTube it. You can YouTube Israeli TV and watch their popular shows, and there's some really popular ones out there. These girls are half naked doing their popular TV shows, and they're using His name, calling themselves by His name, Yahudi, which means the people of His name, the people of Yah. That's what it means, Yahudi, the people of Yah. And when they do that, call themselves by His name and participate in all this abomination, that's what it means when the Scripture says, they blaspheme My name. They call themselves by His name. They call themselves the people of Yah, Yahudi. We call them Jews in the West. And they practice all the abominations of the heathen right now in Israel. And when they do that, and they do it proudly and laugh about it and have fun with it, they blaspheme His name. It's fairly sobering. And then you have all the people in the West and the churches in the West, and they call themselves Christians. Christ interpreted the Latin for the Messiah. That's where we get the word Christian, the Latin referring to the Messiah. And they call themselves Christians. They call themselves by his title, by his name to them. Or they say Jesus, you know, that Latin Greek derivation of the name of Yahshua. They call themselves by his name, their interpretation of his name, Jesus. And they live lives that blaspheme his name. Judgment begins there. That's where judgment's going to begin. Let it begin now. And I say repent now before the onslaught and the judgment comes upon the whole nation so that you can hear his voice and he can lead you. But you're not going to hear his voice if you're spending your days blaspheming his name and glorying in the fact that the law was nailed to the cross, and you can keep Ashtaroth, and you can keep Halloween, and you can keep Christmas, and say, oh, we're free to do these things, and we don't have to follow his feast days, because we're free from that. You know, it would be better if you kept nothing, but you say we're free from the law of God, and we can sin, and we can commit adultery, and we can commit murder, and we can commit fornication, and we can practice the law of the heathen, and we can take enjoyment of the benefits of the idolatry of state and forget all of his benefits, which come with the promises, which come with obedience, which come with living in his kingdom, which is at hand, which you enter into by repenting. Instead, you blaspheme his name, and you take part in all of the idolatry and all the pollutions of idols that have entered in to your corporate worship. And your corporate worship has become so base that he's turned you over and joined you with the state. And that's why the whole church, the whole corporate church, first corporate, yes, the body of Messiah, now has joined with the state and gone to them for permission and for benefits. Not looking wholly to the Heavenly Father for benefits, but joining the state for benefit. The benefits of tax-deductible donations, the benefits of bank accounts and loans from the beast. Yes, you borrow money and you become surety for fiat usury money so you can build big buildings. That's a sign. That's what's happened to his church, because they love abomination and they continue in it. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're in chapter 37 of Ezekiel and verse 1. The hand of Yahuwah was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord of Yahuwah, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Adonai Yahweh, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yahuwah. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. You know, this is a picture of the resurrection of Israel, the nation, that Hebrew nation, after the 70-year desolation. This is a picture of the resurrection of a holy nation after Messiah. And this is also a picture of the resurrection of the dead when the last trump sounds. And perhaps this is a picture of Israel being put in the land again. It certainly is a type. He says, I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Yahuwah. Yeah. And they call themselves Yahudi. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he to me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, the Lord God, the Lord of the wind, the Lord of the bones, the Lord of everything, the Adonai, the great Adonai, the Lord of lords, Yahweh, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Adonai Yahuwah, the Lord God, behold, O my people, I say, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahuwah when you have opened your graves. When I have opened your graves, he says, you shall know that I am Yahuwah. What he's saying is that you are Yahudi, and you're going to know that I am who you are called by, the name you are called by. I am, that you are my people. And that's why it's so important that we learn the name and its place in the scripture, because it brings it, gives it so much more life to understand the power of his name. You shall know that I am the Yahuwah when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. You shall and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for your spirit, Heavenly Father. Thank you for putting it in me. And I shall be, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am, that I, the Yahuwah, have spoken it and performed it, saith Yahuwah. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel and his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel and his companions. If you remember Israel, when that civil war happened and they were split into two nations, the northern tribe was called Ephraim or Israel, Joseph, and the southern tribe was called Judah. So he's one stick for each. One stick for the southern tribe, Judah. One stick for the northern tribe, Ephraim, Israel. And join them one to another. Join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And you know, there's a myth out there. It's called the lost tribes. There were no lost tribes. I'm sorry. The tribes were reunited when they came back into the land after the 7-year desolations. If you go through the Gospels and carefully take note that all of the tribes are represented in the Gospels, they are there. If you take note, he did it. He brought some back out of every tribe and every tongue and every nation to represent every nation after the 70-year desolations. By the time that the Messiah arrived and the Gospels were written, there were their representatives from every tribe. So he says, join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou now show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith Adonai, the Lord, Yahweh, God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the land of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and I will put them with him, even the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. The sticks whereupon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them. So this is Ezekiel talking to the people there at that time, telling them, doing this illustration with these sticks and writing on them and bringing them together. And they're saying, what does this mean? First, he takes the stick before their eyes, he says, and he writes on it, Judah, you know, and he writes on the other, and all her people, and Joseph, Ephraim, and all their people. He writes on these sticks. He shows them the sticks, and he brings them together into one stick in one hand. And he says, and they say, behold, what does this mean? They shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Aren't you going to tell us what this means, Ezekiel? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, Adonai, Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel with his fellows, and I will put with them, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. So he's bringing the people back together, and now he's dealing with Israel, one in his hand. That's the illustration. And the sticks whereupon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them and all, and they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Did he accomplish that? Yes, he did. And of course, he brought them together, and he brought chosen men out of every nation where he scattered them in the 7 year desolations, and they came together. And of course, we know what happened. They came together, and they had children, and the same thing happened. They had a good start, but it always happens. That illustration, because that's what Israel was for all nations, an illustration of no matter how good a start people have, they always go astray. It's been demonstrated here in America. The lamb-like beast that rose up out of the earth and assisted the woman. Remember? The earth opened up its mouth and swallowed the flood that the dragon sent after his people. So America was populated with people that escaped persecution and came over here. And America had a good beginning with the pilgrims who would not even allow the abominations of Christmas and Ashtaroth into their congregations. And slowly over time, they became polluted with the idols of the great whore and the heathen. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through Ezekiel, and we're going to pick up here next time. As always, in everything you say and everything you do, always bless his holy name.